All right, City Council will come back from recess. It is Wednesday, November 14th, 2012, 2 p.m. Carla, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Can you please call the roll?
Leonard?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Fish? Saltzman?
Here.
Adams?
Here. We're going to consider the item that was held over from this morning. Can you please read the title? For non-emergency ordinance, item number 1302.
Authorize the mayor to execute an agreement with the United States Department of Justice Civil Rights Division and United States Attorney for the District of Oregon regarding changes to policies and procedures in and oversight of the Portland Police Bureau.
And call the vote.
Leonard?
Well, thanks to everybody who participated in this. This is a second reading, so there's no testimony, and so most people are not here. But a lot of people put a lot of time and effort into this agreement, and I recognize the folks who are here. I went through all of the testimony and had discussions with the mayor and others about more we can do. As the mayor said last week, I view this as a starting point, and that some of the things, such as the 21 days for the Citizens Review Committee to do their work, seem extremely ambitious. And what I heard last week was that the Department of Justice wants us to try that. There's a lot of momentum at this point. I'm very happy that we are recognizing the needs of people with mental illnesses. I want to remind everybody that we have a new number to call if you're feeling suicidal or if you know somebody who's feeling suicidal. It's 503-97-23456. And that's a number that will get you to mental health professionals and volunteers at Lines for Life, formerly Oregon Partnership. And it's a number where you can call and talk for an hour or more if you need mental health counseling. They are able to resolve 98% of their calls without needing to dispatch anyone. And when they do dispatch, they're able to make sure that the person who's responding, whether it be Project Respond or the police, is aware that the person is in need of assistance. We have a lot of work ahead of us. I'm very happy that I get to continue on the council, helping to lead that work, particularly with regards to people with mental illnesses. I visited with Folk Time this past weekend and engaged their members' support and help for this project. It's more than a project. It's changing the culture of the way we do things in Portland, the way we think, and that's absolutely in line with the Office of Equity and Human Rights. I'm very pleased that this Office of the Independent Monitor, the community liaison, is not in the Office of Equity because it needs to be clearly responsive to the advisory board and to the entire council. And so I think that that structure sets us up to move forward in a positive manner. We still have a lot more work to do on use of force policies and a number of the other policy changes which aren't enshrined in this agreement but which are absolutely necessary, including changes to the independent police review system. So I know that there's a lot of people who have been working diligently on this for decades, if not longer, and a lot of willingness to work together to get real solutions in a very short order. So that's why I'm willing to support this agreement, even though I do believe that some of the timelines are overly ambitious. I don't think it's exactly the way any of us would have had it. That means that we all have to work together to make sure that the outcomes are what we all want to achieve, which is a society and a community which is safe and just for all, and which we are able to trust that our police will be responding in a manner that is safe and just for all. Thanks to the mayor, and that Clay Neal and your staff did a lot of good work. Also appreciative to the Citizens Crime Commission. Suzanne Hayden is here, and the members of the Safer PDX project that did a lot of the background work too, so that when we were looking at how to craft changes, we had already done the studies and were ready to move into action. The community care organizations and the mental health system, indeed the physical health system, is going to be a part of this too. So we're finally going to have a system that works better, and I'm committed to doing my part to help that happen. Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fish?
I too want to thank the mayor and his team for their work, and also Commissioner Saltzman and the mayor for issuing the first call for this investigation. The last two hearings that we've had have been almost unprecedented during my service in terms of the testimony we received and the concerns that have been raised. And I have some concerns with this overall approach. I appreciate all the work that's gone into it. But for example, I fear that we are locking ourselves into some commitments and expenditures of limited public resources at the wrong end of the problem. And given what we're forecasting as the next gap in our budget, and given the inadequate resources upstream around prevention and addressing problems before they result in tragedy, I have a real concern about committing long-term money in this way. I also am concerned, frankly, about what I've heard from some people in the community who have just fundamentally questioned our approach and are wondering whether we're adding new layers which are well-intentioned but are not getting at some core problems. I'm going to be on this council for at least another 2 years, and it's going to fall to this next council to actually implement this agreement and to consider some of these points. I have serious concerns, and I've listened very carefully to impassioned testimony, and I am not confident of the path forward. I will say, though, I believe the mayor has, with great diligence and in good faith, has tried to structure the best deal he could, and at the same time, the mayor has been very attentive to concerns his colleagues have raised over the last few weeks, and this agreement has changed as a result. But I'm not sure, at the end of the day, this is the right approach. I am going to vote aye today because I hope it moves the ball forward, and because I think there are, in some respects, particularly around funding for SCT and some additional training and things of that nature, there's progress. But I fear there's a larger question we're not getting our arms around. And so I will vote aye and thank my colleagues for their good work. But I think the really hard work is ahead of us. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I am going to support this settlement agreement. I do believe, and I want to thank the mayor for all his work. And particularly where it gets with sort of the frontline responses to people with mental illness in terms of having more officers, hiring people from Project Respond to pair with officers, to respond to people in crisis. These are all great things, and those type of things I support. Having said that, though, I am having a little problem getting my arms around some of the other costs that are sort of built into this agreement, and I want to, ask some more questions about those. I see this agreement as a performance-based agreement. It says investigate and complete your investigation of use of force within 180 days. Now, whether it takes an additional 9 internal affairs division officers, other sergeants to do that, or whether it just takes the Bureau working harder and smarter, making sure reports aren't sitting on people's desks for longer periods of time, that I don't know. And that is one of the questions I have. And so that is leading me to question some of the expenses that are added here, I guess, on the upstream end of things, to sort of follow up on Commissioner Fish's analogy. So I'm going to be asking some questions. I didn't receive a matrix until this morning that actually showed where all the staffing costs are within the settlement agreement. And again, as I just said a second ago, the settlement agreement doesn't really speak to a lot of the cost specifically. It's a performance-based agreement, and I think we are more than responding in kind with the spirit of this agreement. But I do want to reserve the right to question the amount of money and the types of positions that are being paid for. And I say that not only in the police bureau. Frankly, I have those same concerns about the IPR, Independent Police Review, whether we need those positions or not, or whether people simply in this environment, this budgetary environment, have to work harder and smarter than they have in the past. And that, again, goes beyond the Bureau. It goes to every employee in the city as we look at tough budgetary times ahead of us. So I know tomorrow we have an agenda item that is kind of germane to this in terms of how we pay for this. These are some questions I'll have more of tomorrow, too, but I just want to sort of get it out there right now. Well, I appreciate the work you've done, Mayor, with the Department of Justice in reaching this agreement. I think there's still some hard questions to be asked about how much this agreement cost us to implement. And those are questions, I think, that are going to have to be played out, especially since this agreement will probably not be finalized by a judge until the end of the year, and only then does it take effect. These are questions that we need to ask as we do our budgeting, not only for next year, but as we make decisions around revenue-raising measures tomorrow and as we do budgets between now and the end of the year. Aye.
Adams?
Well, I want to thank my colleagues on the City Council for their affirmation and acceptance and approval of this agreement. It comes as a result of negotiations with the federal government, and you don't always necessarily get what you want when you are negotiating. It probably is of no solace to the Council, but the original positions around the negotiating table had us paying for a lot more. City of Seattle's agreement is costing them $5 million ongoing, so ours is 3.5 plus. I pledged tax equity reform that would pay close to the not only the 3.5, but make a good down payment on the providing the continuing services for the service coordination team. OMF worked with the Bureau to come up with and DOJ to come up with what it would cost. And yes, time will tell where needed improvements to those original assumptions need to be made. I think that can only come from experience. So is 9 too many for our independent review? Is it too few? That will people's best judgments up front. Future councils absolutely have the right and should claim the right to make improvements from this agreement. I will tell you also that if you look at this agreement compared to other agreements around the nation, this has more specificity. It has more oversight positions and requirements for data collection than a lot of other agreements out there. I want to thank Clay Neal and Sophia in my office, Stephanie Harper, David Warbrill, Jim Van Dyke, Chief Mike Reese, Assistant Chief Larry O'Day, Assistant Chief Eric Hendricks, Director Mike Kuykendall, the auditor, IPR, Mary Beth Batista, everyone at DOJ, from our local U.S. Attorney Amanda Marshall to the very top, Commissioner Amanda Fritz, the healthcare providers and regional coordinated care organizations, Safer PDX participants. This won't just to be successful at what DOJ is asking of this city will require more than just the successful reforms in the Portland Police Bureau. It will require a fundamental change in the way that we as a city look at mental illness and the way we as a city treat those that are suffering from mental illness, or I should say more accurately, how we don't provide treatment to folks that are suffering from mental illness. The Police Bureau, given the nature of its charge, it's appropriate that the Police Bureau and first responders be part of the front of the line in terms of making this change. But I don't want to leave this council or this city under any false hope. It will require change across the board. And this is just the beginning. Aye. Can you please read the title for item number 1305?
Accept Downtown Retail Strategy Update.
All right, would we please have folks come forward? All right, who would like to begin? I had a 30-minute speech. Okay. I'm just going to cut it to zero.
Okay. Good afternoon, Mayor Adams and Commissioners. I'm Rehana Ansari, Policy Coordinator for the Mayor's Economic Development Team. I'm joined today by Corey Jacobs, Downtown Retail Advocate, and Courtney Reese, Downtown Retail Marketing Initiative Manager for Travel Portland. We're here today to present an update on the 2009 Downtown Retail Strategy. In late 2008, Mayor Adams convened a Downtown Retail Vision Task Force comprised of individuals from both the private and public sectors, including designers, property owners, retailers, brokers, to help address existing challenges to the downtown retail core, an area bounded by 2nd and 12th Avenues and Southwest Salmon and Washington Streets. At the time, challenges included a looming recession and a potential concern of high vacancy rates, outmoded retail space. Retail changes its face and character on average every 5 to 7 years, so existing retail space was in need of reconfiguration and renovation. At the time, we had no sidewalk management ordinance regulating the usage of sidewalks in the downtown retail core, and we faced increasing suburban competition from lifestyle centers in edge cities. To help address these challenges, Mayor Adams directed the task force to focus its initial efforts on the signature retail streets in order to create an anchor and to draw visitors and tourists and residents downtown. The task force met over the course of 5 to 6 months in 2009 and was charged with not only updating the 2007 downtown retail strategy, but strengthening our signature retail streets, connecting the various districts within the central city, and stimulating downtown as sort of the overall economic engine for the region. By improving our downtown retail environment, we support the growth of living wage jobs. We support an increase in the tax base, improving the level of services that are provided by both the city and the county. And we create an increasingly attractive destination for prospective residents, tourists, and private sector investment. So why is downtown retail so important? Due to its direct impact on the street level, retail is the means to an end for the overall downtown and ultimately the region's success. Retail activates the ground floor and sidewalk, providing eyes on the street, a primary safety element. It provides amenities and services to those working in the downtown office core, which makes our downtown office space more attractive in comparison to edge cities. It provides amenities for residential populations, making downtown living possible, and ultimately makes for an attractive destination once again. So our 2009 downtown retail strategy was unlike others in that it really focused on four primary action items, of which I'm proud to report we've addressed. The first is we identified and designated Yamhill Morrison as our signature retail streets because they occupy several high-end retailers and regional anchors, and they provide a natural retail spine connecting various districts throughout the central city. We've also focused investment and resources on Yamhill Morrison. A portion of River District URA dollars have been allocated along Yamhill Morrison, as well as PDC storefront grant improvements have been made available. Cafe Yum, Crafty Wonderland, Joe's Burgers are among several who've benefited from these grants. In 2010, PDC adopted new storefront program guidelines that raised the grant match from $20,000 up to $100,000 for projects that demonstrate high potential to have transformative impact on the downtown retail core. We've also employed tactical tools along the signature spine. Prior to the 2009 update, we lacked interagency coordination related to downtown retail. Corey Jacobs, our downtown retail advocate, serves as a retail ombudsman for Travel Portland, the Portland Business Alliance, and the City of Portland. Her position is focused on targeted business recruitment and retention. She also provides business outreach regarding financial incentives and leasing opportunities to prospective tenants. Our targeted team also includes Catherine Kroniak, Senior Project Coordinator from the Portland Development Commission, Courtney Reese, Downtown Marketing Initiative Manager from Travel Portland, Lisa Frisch, Downtown Retail Development Manager from the Portland Business Alliance, as well as oversight from the Mayor's Economic Development Team. To enhance the appearance of the Yamhill Morrison streets, we've made a number of streetscape improvements along Southwest 3rd and 10th Avenues. We've refreshed paint on all light poles. We have new light globes. We have, we're in the process of installing 50 new Banneker armatures that feature the new Pioneer District logo. We're also in the process of installing 28 planters, 15.
By the way, I just want to say something for the record. I was at a dinner recently, and I saw Sam walking off with the Pioneer logo. And Sandy, maybe I shouldn't say that publicly, but for those of you who are still looking for it, I believe it's at a certain condo in Northeast Portland.
I've seen it.
Well, there is one missing, but it needed additional touch-up.
So we're in the process of installing 28 planters, 15 by 6 feet each. We've also installed 15 Big Belly solar trash receptacles and 3 multi-publication news racks. Finally, to further enhance the pedestrian experience and improve public safety along Yamhill Morrison, in 2010, you, City Council, adopted the Sidewalk Management Ordinance. To implement this ordinance, we've installed markers and signage designating a 6 to 8 foot zone, depending on the width of a sidewalk, that allows for fluid movement and passage for pedestrians along Yamhill Morrison.
And the speed to which we installed them was remarkable.
We got it done.
Lightning.
Finally.
Lightning, yeah.
Yep. And now I'll turn it over to...
In geologic plate tectonic terms, it was lightning speed.
And now I'll turn it over to Corey Jacobs, who will share more on our business recruitment and retention efforts.
Thank you. So in 2009, we identified key buildings and blocks that would be transformative in creating a key shopping district in downtown. We've identified these on the map, and with help from PDC, delivering funding where there were gaps in the deals, as well as the storefront program that Rehana mentioned, PBA, myself, and the mayor's office lending recruiting support and advocacy where necessary, and most importantly, the building owners and the brokers who saw the importance of key retailers in the core and sought out those retailers, even though the economics favored other tenants. Since the strategy was put into effect, the following buildings have been renovated with new tenants. The Crest Kaplan building, identified by 17 and 18, has the Nike flagship, a Sephora, Starbucks, and a local independent restaurateur, which also went in, which is part of the key parts to the strategy. Pacific Center, number 24, saw the relocation of Ruth Chris, which again is another thing we've emphasized, with the nighttime activation in restaurants being critical to the core. The Yon building, which has been vacant for several years, is now a bank, which we will call out isn't ideal from a retail perspective, but if you've gone down there and seen it, it is very transformative in what they've been able to do, and it really activates the street. They've done a wonderful job in partnering with us and listening to the downtown retail strategy and really talking about what activates those streets.
Which bank is that?
It's the Sterling Bank.
And if I could just thank the Goodman family who worked with us, and thank Commissioner Leonard, and who had Bureau Development Services at the time and the Fire Bureau, for the Nike flagship store. A tough building to repurpose for retail, and so Commissioner Leonard, appreciate that. They're very grateful. And then to Sterling Bank as well, our concerns, I mean, if you've been by, it's all glass, and that's, mm-hmm. If you got to have a bank on a corner, this is the kind of design you want.
Yeah, it's really nice. And they're also working in the inline space of the Yon building in negotiations with another high-caliber restaurant, which, as we said, is one of the key things. TJ Maxx at 6th Avenue Center, the entire building, the property owner has been working with PDC to revitalize that entire building. Where it was second-floor retail, we've seen that hasn't been successful in the past. They converted that second level to office and have recruited a relocation of a local office, as well as repositioning their current tenants to allow for another large-scale business like TJ Maxx to come in downtown. So that added about 23,000 square feet of retail. Projects underway, which include the Galleria, as everybody knows, the City Target will be opening in that space fairly soon, as well as the former Saks Fifth Avenue space, which is now under construction for a highly...
Apple.
What?
Apple. Staff can't say it, but I can.
There you go. As well as the other things that are going on in that area are The Pioneer Place also has several things going on with the third level. They are adding Punch Bowl Social, which will add about 20,000 additional square feet, which is multi-use. They're going to be a bowling alley as well as food, and that will open in the spring. And they will have access onto the street.
You call that Punch Bowl Social?
Punch Bowl Social. It's a company out of Denver. We actually may even open before their Denver location opens. We'll see.
The whole floor Todai used to be on,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. So it's that entire third level. And they'll have patios and multi-use. Very exciting. And lots of other stuff underway with Pioneer Place, so lots of announcements we'll see in the future. Lastly, the 10th and Yamhill Garage, as you guys are aware, has been discussions, and PBOT and PDC continue to pursue redevelopment to increase the use of the property while remaining parking for retailers in the core. Target has asked for a 2-year reprieve on that development, to re-engage their tenants and actually allow for parking in the garage for 2 years. So they will relook at development in the spring of 15.
And one reason to look at 10th and Yamhill anew is that the original agreement assumed actually a slight shrinking of the number of parking spaces. Since then, obviously, we've landed Target. So we do not want to, we have new demand for parking, and we do not, it's a good problem, and we do not want to give up any of the previously proposed parking spots. So that's why the renegotiation is necessary.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that last point about the Target renegotiation on the Yamhill Garage?
I think CM just mentioned it as well. Go ahead.
I'm not clear what the it of it is. What did they ask a renegotiation for?
So they asked for a postponement of redevelopment.
Oh, the Target piece.
Yes.
Redevelopment of
yes.
the 10th and Yamhill Garage.
Yes. So the garage was going to be completely torn down. As you know, there's been several discussions between PBOT, PDC, and local developers, which would still maintain parking and actually increase the use of the garage. However, given that that will be the majority of the parking for Target, even though Target anticipates a good portion of their people will not be parking,
right.
They don't want to have the garage under construction with over 600 parking spaces right adjacent to it.
Okay.
At least for a couple years.
Yep. Okay, the next slide is just estimated business license tax revenues. It shows the retail core versus downtown and the fact that the retail core is more than half and the number continues to grow. So when we mention retail recruitment, we have key categories that we look at, and our goal is to recruit the best local and national retailers.
Awful picture.
So we target fast fashion with large scale.
I guess touche, huh?
Had to throw it in there. So we have H&M, Tory Burch, indigenous retail. So we continue to recruit and retain locals. We have the pop-up shops, which I'll talk about in just a minute, as well as a lot of independent retailers, which have joined downtown in that area we identify as the West End. Restaurants has been a key component for us to attract restaurants. We have Cafe Yum, Ringside, Ruth Chris's Relocation, Yard House, just to name a few, and there's a lot more underway. So we're very excited about the number of new restaurants that have come downtown in the last several years. Supportive retailers, cosmetics, home furnishings, Nike, Shreve & Company, as Sam mentioned, Apple, and City Target. And there's a few, there are over 15 additional retailers that are on the small and independent scale that have gone into the West End. And really a lot of that is the fact that they want to be near downtown, but the rents are slightly cheaper and they love that edgy feel. So we do feel that they are part of downtown. It will be a nice little experience, and Target will even further bridge that gap between the core and the West End. Last but not least, I will talk about the pop-up shops. The pop-up shops began shortly after we started the project in 2009, and really the key focus originally was for activating vacant storefronts. We also saw this as a reason to work with local entrepreneurs to give them a reason to come downtown and to try their business. We were very, very lucky to have a lot of business owners who donated the space for us, and we worked with local designers to actually open the spaces. Over the last 4 years, we've had 13 shops, and four of those have stayed on as rent-paying tenants. Most recently, Crafty Wonderland just signed a full lease on 10th. We now have four shops, which just opened last week, and I will actually hand out flyers for each of those, so hopefully you guys can all stop by those. And a reason, I just want to go back to the part that began as activating storefronts, really became a small business development venture, and we also see a ton of positive press downtown for this. It just came out, if you saw those last week. It's a reason to get locals back downtown. It's also a lot of excitement around the holidays.
Thanks, Corey. Mm-hmm. So the Downtown Marketing Initiative produces a city.
And your name is?
I'm sorry. I am Courtney Reese with the Downtown Marketing Initiative and Travel Portland. So the DMI, the Downtown Marketing Initiative, produces a steady drumbeat of year-round promotions and communications. This helps keep downtown vibrant and relevant and in the minds of the local consumer when they are deciding where they want to spend their dollars. We work with various partners, the Downtown Retail Council, Smart Park, Portland Mall Management, Pioneer Courthouse Square, and through those partnerships, as well as obviously working with the businesses in the core, we've been able to add some different layers since the downtown retail strategy was implemented. What you see on the screen are just some of the things that we've been able to do in the past year with these partners. For example, the Blobbuster promotion in the winter was a promotion with the arts organizations. We were able to partner that with dining discounts and deals through the use of QR codes. Portland Dining Month returned for the third year. That promotion features three-course $25 meals every night of the week in June. We had some restaurants that saw more than 1,500 meals sold. We had more than 65 participating restaurants throughout the city with a nice strong concentration in downtown. In addition, into the fall season, through a partnership with the Downtown Retail Council, we are able to elevate the national exposure that the Vogue international event, Fashions Night Out, has by being the Portland face and Portland name. And also through another event that was happening in downtown Feast Portland, we are able to include those brick-and-mortar restaurants by offering Appetizing Oregon, which were $10 small plates featuring local ingredients or ingredients found throughout the state. The Pioneer District, that brand, we were very happy and very pleased to be able to work with a variety of partners on that creation of the look and feel of those signature streets. And then finally, the emblem for this year's holiday campaign, as Corey mentioned, kicked off last week with the kickoff of the pop-up shops. You'll also see some advertising appearing starting on Friday, the relaunch of our website, downtownportland.org. So all of this advertising, all this promotion, what does this actually mean? Well, what we hope is that it will have a positive impact on the perception of downtown, and it's doing just that. When the Downtown Marketing Initiative was started in 2006, amongst surveyed residents, the positive perception or favorable perception of downtown was at 41%. Through the implementation of the downtown retail strategy, this consistent year-round marketing plan, we've been able to hold levels for those favorable views in the upper 60s. Among residents who live close into downtown, so within 15 minutes, that favorable impression actually increases, you'll see from the survey results that we just did a few weeks ago, to 78%. For the last fiscal year, downtownportland.org, which is the driver for our advertising and for our promotions, had more than 230,000 visitors. That is a 90% increase from 2009 when the downtown retail strategy was implemented. In addition, you'll see that that proactive, positive PR messaging that Corey mentioned, both with the pop-up shops but also the additional promotions, new tenants downtown, had nearly 200 story placements. This is a 10% increase from 2009-2010. And finally, with the implementation of this downtown retail strategy, we also were able to enter the social media space. Since entering that in 2009, we now have more than 75,000 fans on Facebook. We also launched a Pinterest contest yesterday, which we're very excited about and seeing some great traction with, as well as Twitter and Instagram.
I'd like to acknowledge this long list of partners that you see here on this slide. This work would not have been possible without their invaluable support, so thank you. And now you'll hear from a few of our key partners, including Dave Leland, Chair Scott Andrews, Sandy McDonough, Jeff Miller, and Emily Flint.
Thank you all very much. Great presentation. Could we have our testifiers come up? And Chair Andrews, I know you have a time commitment. Would you like to go first?
I would be happy to go first. Thank you. Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. I think you all know me. I'm Scott Andrews, President of Melvin Mark Properties, Chairman of the Portland Development Commission, and I happen to also co-chair the Downtown Vision Task Force, the committee that produced the 2009 Portland Downtown Retail Strategy. Having been involved in many downtown efforts in the past, I'd like to highlight how this strategy is different from other downtown retail strategies and why it's been so successful. First, the effort started in the spirit of a true public-private collaboration. The mayor and I were co-chairs of the task force, thus both owning a piece of the public-private collaboration that was to come. We had a broad representation from property owners, retailers, brokers, architects, and planners, as well as other public agencies. Second, we've decided to focus our efforts, as has been previously mentioned, on two streets to create one continuous retail experience that's unique and creates a strong backbone for the retail core. These two streets, Morrison and Yamhill, now branded Pioneer District, have seen tremendous transformation over the past 4 years. We're now able to see the results of what we aimed to do, which was to anchor Yamhill and Morrison at both ends with some incredibly transformative projects. At 4th and Morrison, we saw a major renovation of a historic building, long vacant, into three viable and thriving tenants: Sephora, Starbucks, and Joe's Burgers. This mix of national and local tenants is symbolic of the kind of retail mix we boast about in downtown. This laid the foundation for the new Nike store on the adjacent corner at 5th and Morrison. This store is a testament to Portland's thriving athletic and outdoor cluster. Nike decided to go above and beyond for the store, aiming to get a LEED Platinum designation. At 10th and Morrison, we have the renovation of the Galleria into a new City Target store. This was a true public-private partnership in the sense that the mayor himself played a major role convincing Target to locate at the Galleria. Thank you, Sam. We are one of the first markets in the country to get a City Target store, and we're hearing that the one that recently opened in Seattle is a fabulous success, and they can't wait to open the one in Portland. Finally, while we were all sad to see Saks go, H&M has been a terrific addition to downtown, and we have a new anchor retailer taking the Saks Women's Store set to open next year, which will have a transformative effect on that end of Yamhill and tremendously increase foot traffic. And this doesn't include all of the other retailers that have opened their doors since that Corey has previously mentioned. Finally, I want to highlight how this strategy has empowered not only collaboration between public and private sector, but amongst the many organizations and agencies that work to make downtown a great place to work and shop. As a result of the strategy, we hold quarterly meetings that we call Downtown Management Summit, which is an opportunity for management-level staff to come together and discuss issues relevant to everyone's work downtown. This committee includes city bureaus such as Parks and PBOT, PBA, TriMet, PMMI, PDC, DMI, and others. We also have a staff group that's been working closely together for the past 4 years to implement the various aspects of the strategy. They meet monthly, if not more often, to coordinate efforts. This level of management and collaboration was not happening prior to 2008. So I'd like to thank the mayor and all of you city council members for your support, and all of the task force members and organizations that put their time and energy into this strategy. We look forward to a lot of good work to come. Thank you.
Thank you. And Chair Andrews, you have this. Well, it won't be the last time, hopefully, before the city council. So thank you for your work on this. It's been a pleasure to co-chair it with you.
Thank you.
President McDonough.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mayor Adams and members of the council. My name is Sandra McDonough, and I'm president of the Portland Business Alliance, and I've been part of this task force since it was begun in late 2008. This has been, as Scott said, a phenomenal public-private partnership that would not have happened without Mayor Adams' vision and leadership and support from all of you. We're very fortunate that we have a mayor and city council that believes that a healthy downtown is the cornerstone of a strong regional economy. Downtown is the face of the city, presenting visitors and residents with an enduring sign of our city's vitality. I always say that retail is like the canary in the coal mine. If retail is not healthy, then your downtown and your city is not healthy. We have a healthy canary and a great downtown. For this retail strategy, PDC, Clean and Safe, Portland Mall Management, the Alliance, and many others have worked together under the mayor's personal leadership to make Portland, downtown Portland, an attractive destination for employers and their employees, tourists, and residents. And we have to recognize the importance of downtown as the economic center of our city. According to the Clean and Safe 2011 Business Census Survey, downtown businesses generated more than $5.5 billion in wages. And I'm happy to report also that we're seeing that employment is in our downtown core is growing. And as you've heard, this project has had many incredible achievements due to our public-private partnership, and I want to highlight a couple. Those banners that you saw brand the new Pioneer District were actually paid for by the Clean and Safe District, 50 new banners. And by the way, we were thrilled to give one to the mayor. I was not giving away city property. And in partnership with the Portland Development Commission, we've also put 15 new Big Belly trash compactors on Yamhill and Morrison. We've worked with the TSA and others to make that possible. And while other downtowns across the nation have struggled through this recession, many of our downtown retailers and restaurants have actually participated with us in this retail strategy and have grown and revitalized their presence, including Macy's, Nike, Columbia Sportswear, Nordstrom, Mercantile, Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, and others. They've remodeled or moved to new locations, gotten bigger and stronger. And we hear from our retailers, and this is such a critical time for them, that year-over-year holiday sales get stronger and stronger, meaning that people are coming to our downtown and shopping. And we've also had tremendous success in recruiting new national and local retailers. We've talked about H&M and Shreve and Sephora and other great new retailers in our downtown core. And we're very excited about the new City Target and Apple that will be opening in the next in the coming months. And we are phenomenally proud of our PDX pop-up stores that you've heard about. They have brought local artisans into our downtown core, activated vacant storefronts, and helped small businesses grow and thrive. And I'm proud to report that we've been copied by many other cities across the country, including New York City and our program, because it's been so successful. These activities would not have been possible without a supportive and engaged retail community, an extremely strong public-private partnership, and coordination among all the many, many partners, and, of course, the personal leadership of Mayor Sam Adams. But I do want to say that it's been very successful, but we can't assume that we're done. We need to keep a continued focus on the vitality of our downtown, continuing investing in downtown and making sure that we're staying current with the times, whatever those times are, and making sure that we keep downtown clean and safe and inviting for our residents, our workers, and tourists. Thank you very much, and thank you for your support.
Thanks. Phenomenal work on this with you and your team. Thank you very much. Hi.
Hi. Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Dave Leland with Leland Consulting Group. Our firm, we're real estate advisors and development strategists, was retained in 2008 and worked into 2009 with the Portland Development Commission and the Portland Business Alliance to examine downtown retail, to build on past efforts. The strategic effort really began in 2002, and as all strategic efforts, it's ongoing today. As Sandra just said, there's more being unfolding and revealed to us as we go on. Our role, and the context here is we've now been the advisor to over 90 downtowns for revitalization across the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. That's a core part of our business. So we were retained to look at past efforts to examine the state of retail in downtown Portland, to look at the markets, sales, demographics, other indicators, the role of retail in the metropolitan economy, and what the competition was to downtown and related considerations. So we worked very closely with the task force, which has been identified earlier, with your office, Mayor, with PDC and the Business Alliance. An early observation from our research was the assessment that there were too many organizations working at the same time trying to solve the same issues, and it was having a diluting effect on results. And we reported that to the mayor and to our client. And since then, it has become focused. The Portland Business Alliance and Travel Portland have taken an increasingly major role in managing downtown in terms of retail retention, attraction, revitalization, bringing in new tenants into our downtown. And so the positive results demonstrate that that was the right decision to focus and to continue to do so. Management cannot be understated in terms of running a good, tight downtown. As part of this process, the mayor asked us in, I think it was 2009, to look at signature streets across the country to determine the conditions that made them successful, further to evaluate our downtown in relation to those case study findings. So we examined downtown in Old Pasadena, California, downtown retail core in Seattle, Robeson Street in Vancouver, B.C., the Magnificent Mile, which is Michigan Avenue in Chicago, and the Newbury Street retailing district in Boston. And what we discovered as we were looking at this was that there was an interplay of factors that made them successful: the quality and the number of anchor stores, parking availability, multimodal access, the compactness of the retail district, so there was a continuity of shopping opportunities for the pedestrian, relationship to other downtown districts such as the Culture District, historic districts, and so on, shopping continuity, mix of local and national retailers, so there was not the same stores in every single downtown, but there was something that had local flavor, particularly proximity to urban housing and jobs, and I think most important was the strength of downtown management. So what emerged from this strategy with regard to signature streets, and it's been addressed by others, is that Morrison and Yamhill Streets, the multimodal couplet that forms the heart of downtown, really is Portland's signature street. Happens to be two streets, but that's fine. That works in other communities as well. So Macy's, Nordstrom's, Brooks Brothers, Pioneer Place, and some of the other retailers that Sandra just mentioned are anchored along these signature streets. They, in turn, make it possible for the smaller retails to, do business. What was interesting when we did the study, and I don't know if the statistics are still the case, but at that time in 2009, 50 to 55% of sales in the department stores were coming from people from outside the state who were visiting here. And so it becomes a primary driver of activity in the hotels, in the food establishments, and the other retailers. And it's, even though it's theater, it is pivotal to the overall economy of Portland. We're still emerging from the national recession as a country, but retail in downtown Portland, I say, is by comparison quite healthy. We've moved out of what I would call the recovery stage. We're now in the expansion stage of retail development. Portland and its downtown is really a success story based on all the experience we've had. And it will continue to get stronger with committed leadership, with public-private partnering, and with strong and capable management, which we believe is in place today. Thank you.
Dave, could I ask you two quick questions?
You bet.
Since you're sort of the national expert on this, I'm just curious. number one is, what's the impact of the internet on the retail experience as looking forward?
I'm not sure I can answer that question directly. It really depends on the product that's being merchandised. And rather than throw out a statistic, I don't know, but I will get that answer for you.
And the second question I wanted to ask you is, as we hand off the baton from this mayor to the next mayor and to the next council, you've identified the successes, and we work downtown. We're very proud of what we've seen over the last few years, and it is extraordinary. If you had to pick one challenge, the biggest challenge we face looking out the next 4 or 5 years, what would you say that is in order to continue to make progress?
It's the same answer for every town. It's leadership. It's continuing leadership and strong support from both the elected officials and a corresponding partnership with the private sector. And I always say if you reach into the toolkit and there's only one tool in there, it best be leadership. And this council has provided that in the past, and I'm assuming that will be the case in the future. Thank you.
Dave, you did a phenomenal job of putting the strategy out there. It's, I know, in the year ahead, going to require some refreshing. But thank you for all the research and the inspiration and the great to-do list.
It was fun, and I appreciate the compliments. Thank you very much, Mayor.
Thank you all very much. Signed it. Please come forward. Who would like to go first?
I can go first.
Great. Chair Flint.
Good afternoon. Mayor Adams and Commissioners. My name is Emily Flint. I'm the General Manager at the Downtown Macy's, as well as the Chair of the Downtown Retail Council. Macy's participated on the Mayor's Downtown Retail Strategy Task Force, and I'm happy to testify in support of the efforts of the task force over the past 4 years. I moved to Portland 3 years ago. I had not seen such an engaged downtown business community before. I want to thank Mayor Adams and his economic development team at the City of Portland, the Business Development Commission, the Clean and Safe District, the Portland Business Alliance, the Downtown Marketing Initiative, and a host of other partners for turning the task force recommendations into reality. These groups have come together to develop creative and effective programs to attract customers and shoppers from the Portland region and beyond. As many of you know, the Macy's in downtown Portland would not have been possible without a public and private partnership to renovate the historic Myron Frank building into a modern retail facility and five-star hotel, The Nines. Since our opening 5 years ago, we have listened to the local community and are continually upgrading merchandise assortments to satisfy the needs of both locals and visitors. Other downtown stores have also reinvested in downtown Portland, including our new neighbors, Nike at 5th and Morrison. Notable local and national retailers and restaurants continue to open outlets in downtown Portland, including Tory Burch, TJ Maxx, Potbelly Sandwiches, and Case Study Coffee, who have all opened in the Pioneer District in the last month. This newly invigorated retail leasing activity, coupled with the expansion of the Downtown Marketing Initiative programs from holiday to a year-round campaign, including our favorite event, Fashion Night Out, helps promote all businesses and strengthens the downtown Portland reputation as the premier shopping destination in the state. Visitors from Canada and Washington make seasonal visits downtown to enjoy tax-free shopping. When visitors arrive downtown, the most noticeable physical manifestation of the work of the task force will be in the Pioneer District signature retail streets of Yamhill and Morrison. The refreshed environment, including light pole banners, sidewalk planters, big belly solar trash compactors, and permanent news racks. All of these catalytic improvements would not be possible without the support of the engaged retail community, a strong public-private partnership, and coordination among all of the downtown partners. Many thanks to the members of the task force, and of course to you, Mayor Adams, for your leadership to promote and support the downtown over the years. And to speak to the internet question, we do a survey, and Jeff might be able to speak to this too, but we do a survey, and the number one way people in Portland shopped last year during holiday was on the internet. So this year, some of the advertising will show internet shopping and how boring it is and how much more exciting it is to come downtown and see the lights and the tree and have the downtown experience that you can't get at home. The other thing I'll share with you is that although the online shopping community has grown significantly and continues to be very important to all retail, it has also helped the retail community as a whole. So at Macy's specifically, our online business is growing exponentially every year, but so are the stores. And so that's something to keep in mind, that although they are taking business, they're not taking away from the brick and mortar stores.
By the way, just a comment about Macy's.
Mm-hmm.
I often go online to find what I want to buy at Macy's, check to see if you have a good coupon, and then actually go down and physically buy it.
Excellent.
So
love to hear that. And there will be many coupons this holiday season, so keep on doing that.
Stay tuned.
Thank you for your leadership of the Downtown Retail Council, and you've just been a great, smart, passionate supporter of making Pioneer District come to life, so thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Miller.
Yes, I'm Jeff Miller, the president of Travel Portland, and if we don't have something good to market, it's very hard to market it, and we're very lucky to have a vibrant downtown. You know, I'd like to speak to the impact of the retail strategy on tourism and the regional draw to downtown. We all know if we don't have a strong retail core, we don't have a strong region. And the core of downtown is really the brand of Portland. It's the food carts, it's retail, culture, museums, the vibrant street scene. And that is at the heart of what we are as a city. As past general manager of Saks Fifth Avenue, I'm acutely aware of the importance of that strong retail strategy. And I do want to note that I left well before Saks closed. Not my fault.
Not your fault.
Having more retail synergy really creates an ability for us to market. Just like Bridgeport Village and Washington Square have to have a marketing strategy, so does downtown. And the vision of the mayor to ask us to come in and leverage what Travel Portland was doing on the domestic and international side and really help with the downtown marketing really gave us the ability to leverage what we were doing on with the hotel motel tax along with what those retail shoppers are paying in their parking fees. The downtown hoteliers and the hoteliers in Portland weren't interested in marketing regionally, but they were very interested in leveraging against our programs. So when we create things like Dining Month or Blobbuster campaign, we can use those up in Seattle and Vancouver and really create that shopper regionally and from a distance. You will see us begin to do more advertising in Seattle and Vancouver with the Tourism and District Improvement District funds, and we'll be able to continue to leverage the current DMI programs with what we're doing in those. Emily did kind of pull the curtain back on one of our DMI ads that you'll see currently, and it's a very cute representation of the person shopping at home and getting them downtown to come and shop in the vibrant Portland scene. Our board of directors is very pleased that we've been able to be a part of this and help leverage our resources against the DMI resources. And we were lucky enough to help create the look and feel of the Pioneer District, and that's been a lot of fun. I'm glad you got a souvenir of that. We look really forward to continuing the brand building of Portland with all of these major ways of looking at downtown as the heart of what this city is about and the brand of what this city is about. So thank you for all of your leadership. And we look forward to moving it forward in the coming years.
Now, you've been, just so council knows, you've been our marketing partner on this for how long?
Since 2009.
So
3 years so far.
3 years. So it was part of the changes we made in the overall effort and your ability to leverage the external marketing with the internal within the region marketing really has paid off. And I want to thank you for you and your team's great work.
Thank you.
I move to accept.
Second.
Oh, more than that. Oh, I apologize. Yep.
Jerry Atlansky and Lightning for public testimony.
Next one. Oh.
Just the two.
All right. Move to accept.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Carla, can you please call the vote on the motion?
Leonard?
This was an excellent presentation. It sounds like a fabulous plan that's been put together and implemented, and I'm appreciative of being able to support it.
Ritz.
I love our downtown. It's such a wonderful place. I visited Chicago over Memorial Day weekend and was struck by where is everybody? And yet I was in Portland over Veterans Day weekend and probably as many of my colleagues did, got angry emails about getting tickets for not using the meters on Monday. And I pointed out, well, we have Sunday meters now, and that was actually Veterans Day, and it's a vibrant place every day of the week. And there's so many wonderful stores and experiences to be had in downtown Portland. Need to mention the work of Clean and Safe that does such a great job of partnering with Central City Concern and with our folks who live outside to make sure that it is a safe and clean place for everybody to be downtown. And I've been at many a late meeting at City Hall or elsewhere and seen folks diligently cleaning up, putting things in the garbage, cleaning the garbage cans late into the evening. And that's part of what makes a great downtown, too, is knowing that it's a mindful downtown. It's a place where people care about other people. And so thank you all for your work on this, and I look forward to continuing to work on you in the future. Mayor Adams, you have been a champion of the downtown retail strategy and of this the downtown as a wonderful place to be, and I have so appreciated working with you on this. Aye.
Fish.
I've had the good fortune of living either in great downtowns or adjacent to great downtowns in New York City, Boston, Washington, D.C., and Poughkeepsie, New York. Okay, 3 out of 4. And I have to say, I think we have the most successful downtown of any city that I've ever spent a lot of time. And it actually pains me to see the disconnect for some of the things I read about on blogs and on the internet, because I just wonder whether we're talking about the same city. This is a highly successful downtown. And actually, I hope as I get older to live downtown sometime, just to collapse my life, make it as convenient as possible, and live and work down here. Thank you to our team for doing a magnificent job. I want to give just a shout out, in addition to the private sector participation documented here, I also just want to acknowledge the philanthropy that led to some of our signature parks downtown, particularly Director Park, which I think has had a significant impact. And were it not for the Schnitzer family and the Moyer family, we would not have Director Park. So I want to give them also a shout out for their investments in that. And to Mayor Adams, who really has championed this from day one, congratulations. It's wonderful to live in a city this beautiful, and this tells us how much hard work has gone into having the downtown that we aspire to. So thank you. Aye.
Adams.
Well, every single member of council has participated in the last 4 years in this strategy. I mentioned briefly Commissioner Leonard and his work in leading.